Next on BYUSN, both Cougar football and men's basketball need to add impact players in the transfer portal, but which position is the number one priority? We sit down with men's basketball assistant coach Chris Burgess. He's back, baby, on his decision to return to BYU and what role he'll have on the staff. Jackson Robinson gets the invite to the NBA Combine, what it means for his NBA draft stock and potential to return to BYU. And the hot take from former linebacker Isaiah Kafusi that has us debating where the 2020 team ranks all time.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation. Happy Monday, everyone. It is May 6th. We survived Cinco de Mayo. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan.
I didn't survive. That's a big deal in my household, given that my mom's a white Mexican.
Did you wear at any point a sombrero yesterday?
I did not, but my mom actually moved up back to Utah after 16, 17 years in Arizona, and we celebrated yesterday.
Welcome back to your mom.
Awesome.
It was a true celebration on Cinco
really
de Mayo.
It was. It was awesome. It was great.
As always, we are presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Much to discuss. What a weekend of sports. Photo finishes all over the place on top of your celebration.
I watched the F1 race, the entire race, for the first time in my life. It was awesome. I think I'm in. I haven't even watched the Netflix series. But how about the Kentucky Derby and NASCAR going down to the wire? Kyle Larson wins in NASCAR. Look how close that was. Mystic Dan winning the Kentucky Derby in front of Mark Pope. And, of course, Lightning McQueen, just the throwback. That was a funny tweet by Bleacher Report. A great sports weekend. I was in Indy, Colin, rugby. You know, we had Matt Jensen, former
Indianapolis
Cougar,
is the place to be when you're watching a race.
Right? Yeah.
They know a thing or two about that.
Yeah, I stayed in I didn't last week, but the week before I stayed in the JW Marriott where Jesse Wade got stuck in the elevator during the 21 tournament. So I was like, am I going to get stuck in the elevator? In
Please, no.
Yeah. It was nice. But, yeah, what a sports weekend, man. May delivers.
All right, we're trying to deliver on a Monday, so rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Evaluating who potentially is out there and making sure we get the best fits for the program. Recruiting never stops, and with the transfer portal and everything that's going on, it never stops.
What's Trending, presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. Both BYU football and men's basketball in clear need of adding impact players. And how do you do it? Through the transfer portal. But which position on which team, Jerem, needs addressing the most through the transfer portal as of May 6, 2024?
Depends what you want. Like, do you want a full basketball roster?
Yes,
you
please.
You need to add some players. Because right now there's probably 4 scholarships available by my count. In football, if you're just trying to go to a bowl game, I think the BYU is probably pretty good. There's some spaces where BYU certainly could upgrade to try and be better than that, be 8-plus wins. BYU's with this roster right now going into this year, I don't feel like is contending for the Big 12 title. That's where we want to be, Spence. But they're improving. They're getting better. It's second year under Jay Hill, second year in the league. I'm talking defensively with Hill. So I would say that filling the men's basketball roster, probably more of a priority. You got to get a big man.
Yes.
Specifically what Brandon Dunson told us last week, he identified 3 types of players that BYU needs. First, a rim rolling 5. You certainly can't walk in with Foose and then be like, hey, Noah Waterman and Brody Kozlowski, can you play over here? No, you need like at least 2 more big men, if not 3, but you need a quality center. Maybe a guy that starts, and maybe Foose comes off the bench. We'll see. Typically, you don't start with a 6'5" kind of, you know, center. Foose is a very good backup if that's what it ends up being. If he's the starter and you run with Noah at 6'11" and power forward, that works too, perhaps. Then you need a Jackson Robinson, Colin Chandler replacement should Jackson not return. That would have been 10 to 15 points per game on the perimeter. And then you need a 6'6 or 6'7 perimeter defender, as Dunson highlighted. So I would say rim rolling 5, as
yes.
Dunson said.
It starts with post players. BYU needs a front court. And I know we're all excited about Brody Kozlowski because he's now like a third guy that's 6'6 or above on BYU's roster. But come on, let's be serious.
BYU, that's why we're excited about Brody, because he's taller than 6'6".
I'm joking. I'm being facetious. But, like, it was Noah Waterman, who is not your typical post player.
No. Act like Noah is 6'8", and you'll just, like, mentally put him in the red space.
I mean, Foose is the only traditional post player on the roster right now.
Yeah,
it's Foose.
And we're talking scholarship to players.
Yes.
Right?
So BYU needs some front court depth for sure. And I know that a lot of BYU fans are excited about a couple of specific names that are in the portal right now. The Cougars have their hands full in the battle to go get some of these guys. Kevin Young has been delivering more often than not, specifically bringing back the core of the team. But can they go get a key piece in the portal for that number five spot? Because Foos needs some help. BYU just needs straight up size. We know Foos is long and physical, and he's like an impossible matchup, even in the Big 12, because he's such a unique type of player. But who else is there?
Depends on who you're playing, right? Like, at Kansas, Foos wasn't taking it to Hunter Dickinson, like few do, right? But there are matchups where Foos can be very good.
Yeah, who's going to match up with Hunter Dickinson?
I would Dallin Hall on the perimeter from three is what happened. I would like Foos to be the backup five. I honestly would be. I just think he's a better backup five than most of the fives in the league, if not all. And you sort of have this, like, our second unit's going to be pretty good.
He's an incredible change of pace because he is so weird to defend.
Yes, he's so skilled, great footwork in the post. I would love for BYU to be so deep that Foos doesn't start. That's what I want. That's not a knock on Foos. That is a spotlight on his skill set for your second unit. But you've got to have a quality center. Ideally, it's a, yes, rim-rolling five who can block shots, too. I use the rim rolling five because we're talking about pick and rolls with a Dallin Hall, with a Dawson Baker, with a TBD if they sign another point guard guy. Those are the matchups that could really help you on the perimeter.
Who's defending the rim? Yeah. Like, who is your rim protector right now? Rim rolling five, that's more of an offensive term, but who's the guy that's protecting the paint? Can BYU get a guy that's as tall as Chris Burgess on the roster? Can BYU go get a 6'11 or a 7-footer? Is there somebody out there that's available?
It certainly would help. BYU didn't need it last year to get to the tourney. Atiki Aliatiki was the third-string kind of center. Didn't play a ton. When he's in there, he's blocking some shots, getting some alley-oops, that kind of thing. It certainly would be nice to have that type of player at a higher level than what Atiki provided last year in limited minutes. But with Ali Khalifa starting and Foos, you didn't have a shot blocker. You didn't have a rim rolling five on the roster, and you got to the tourney. But if you can add that, it adds to that. Could that have helped you beat Duquesne in those types of games? Will it help you match up in the Big 12? Absolutely. But BYU is not going to bring in just a dude. They're going to find a guy who fits, who could start. You don't go to the portal for just backups. You go for starters. You go for quality guys who could start. So I'm excited to see who BYU finds in that regard.
Now, clearly, we're in agreement. You need post depth. Well, BYU needs a five.
Yeah, and you probably need three more dudes. You need two fives and maybe one four. You can always go small with Noah Waterman and Brody Kozlowski and have those stretch fours, which I like. And there's not as many big men in the game now. They can all shoot kind of thing. So, we'll see who they bring in, man. But you got four scholars. You got a little bit of room to play with here.
Now, if there were a second place in this, for me, it's on the BYU football side. But it's not where Hans Olsen said he thinks BYU needs more depth at the quarterback position. I mean, BYU's got how many quarterbacks in the room right now?
A plethora. We're still waiting on the official announcement
seven.
Of a certain local one. That
Yes. Good grief. So I'm not going to go the quarterback route, but I do feel like BYU needs another Kyrus Tonga. I was talking to Jay Hill at the FanFest in Dallas.
I thought they had one, but he jumped in the portal.
Yes. Like, BYU needs that dominant presence up front on the defensive line. You give me a Kyrus Tonga, and I know I'm asking for a lot because it's an NFL-caliber defensive lineman.
But where have they been besides Kyrus?
These are the guys that typically Kalani Sitake recruited to Utah. He was so good at it. And Jay Hill is doing everything that he can along with Sitake to try and get somebody like that in. But it's been tough, Jerem. It's been tough for BYU to find that NFL-caliber defensive lineman again after Kyrus.
Listen, Utah made a living on those guys with Star Lotulelei.
They're still making a living on those guys.
There's a million guys. That's a spot that has not been a strength for BYU. BYU likes its edge rushers going into the fall. They certainly have some potential there at D tackle, but like, yeah, where's that dude that you're like, NFL prospect, let's go. Like, because he just makes it second and nine and changes everything that happens.
He forces offenses to work around him, and then you can really begin to scheme. When you have a big body and a star like that up front, your defense and your linebacker specifically can really hone in on their positions, their gaps, and now they're making all types of plays. You can be downhill when you have a guy like that. So for me, that's number two. Like, not the quarterback. go find me in Conestoga. Super simple, right?
Yeah. Just go do it. Just go find him. Well, hey, you have the portal. Let's go. Topic two. Jackson Robinson, one of 78 players invited to the NBA Combine. Congrats, Jax. That's a big deal. In Chicago, May 12th through the 19th, so next week. What does this mean for his draft stock?
This is great news that Jackson was invited to the official Combine. And this is big time. It's big time for Jax. I hope that things go well, that he's hearing what he wants to hear from his agent and from teams and from prospects. And this is all signs point to good things for Jackson. If you're invited here, like, you're clearly on every NBA team's radar. So can he go and perform and do well and be good enough to get drafted in the middle to the latter part of the second round? I hope he feels like he's a guaranteed mid to late second round pick by the end of the combine. Because if he's not feeling that way, he's going to come back and play another year in college. Yeah. Then the question becomes, well, where in the heck is he going to go? Because he is in the transfer portal and he becomes an incredibly hot commodity, having just been at the combine. And now he's not going pro and he's coming back.
I found, 7 mocks this morning. I found him in 3. There they were. 38 to the Knicks, 44 to the Rockets, 54 to the Pistons in different
54
ones.
54 to the Pistons feels like a pretty that feels like something that could happen.
Late second, yeah.
Yes.
Remember, there's only 58 picks because 2 were forfeited by 2 teams. Suns, one of them. Tankathon, Hoop Hype, Consensus Draft, The Ringer, NBA Draft Room, where he was not in them. Not every mock has 2 rounds. I'm just talking about the ones where I found 2 rounds. But, yeah, this means you're definitely in the mix. If he was not invited to the combine, he
could come back and play.
He could have just turned around because
there's
no point, right? But the fact that he gets invited to the combine means he's absolutely in the mix. I just wonder with him, like, is a second round maybe good enough? Because if it's not, come back to college and better your stock and get into that first round. He's got that potential. But maybe at this point of his career and his academic life, he just wants to move on and go to the NBA. Whatever. Great. If that's the case, awesome. We'll be excited to see what he does with his career. And hopefully he makes it to the NBA, because certainly that's a point of emphasis for Kevin Young in this program. Is let's develop guys to get into the NBA. That's not been a strength of the program recently. I'd love to see it, and Jackson is the next best prospect for BYU at that point.
Well, and year to year, the draft is interesting. It's a different beast because some years it just feels like there are 20 to 30 more NBA prospects available that are out there, and maybe this is a year where it's a little bit lighter, and that benefits a guy like Jackson, who is a projected second-round guy.
Get into the second-rounder. Okay. By some, right?
Yes.
Some he's not projected to go at all. But that's not stopped certain guys from leaving here in the past 10 years. Like Eric Mika and Elijah Bryant said, no, I'm still going even if I'm not picked. And those guys had really nice careers. Elijah Bryant's still kicking. So it depends on what he wants. Every decision you make in life depends on what you want. And we'll see what Jackson wants, man. But he is invited to the combine, which is a big deal.
I would love nothing more than for Jackson Robinson to be the next NBA draft pick out of Brigham Young University, to hear his name called by whatever team, and then followed by forward or shooting guard Brigham Young University. It's crazy to me that it has been since Jimmer, since BYU has had a draft pick.
Well, is it? It's such a world global game now. Like, in the NFL draft, can you imagine in the NFL if suddenly the world was involved? It'd be like way harder to crack that. And it's only 2 rounds, dog. Like, it is hard to be an NBA draft pick.
For sure.
It
for
really
sure.
Is.
The global aspect has certainly impacted it, with international players taking, 12 to 18 picks every year.
The idea of a guy is better than the actual production of a guy sometimes. Because you hope you're finding the next Luka Doncic, right? Out of Europe, and changes the complexity of your team. But for Jackson, that's exciting. He has until May 29th to return to college if he wants. If he doesn't, he just stays in, of course. So we'll see what he decides to do in the next couple of weeks. And we'll be watching NBA TV
next week
to see him work out in the drills, 5-on-5, all that.
Do his thing. What if he makes a bunch of threes and looks amazing? Then he can help your stock.
Will we be surprised?
No, you can certainly help your stock that way. Okay, our question of the day. Which team has bigger needs that need addressing through the always interesting transfer portal?
Women's volleyball, center and outside hitter.
That's true. They could use it.
They got some good young talent, but who knows? Yeah,
women's soccer could bolster some positions as well.
All the responses are going to be football, men's basketball.
Specifically,
we're asking,
is it BYU football or BYU men's basketball today? Matthew Kurtz on X answers, Vegas has BYU football projected to win 4.5 games. Basketball sum up predicted in the top 25 in way too early polls.
That was pre-departure of Mark Pope.
And not everything that happened after that.
Yeah, that changed them.
So Matthew continues, football needs all the starting talent it can get. Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. I feel really good about multiple position groups on BYU's football team. But
yes, the hope is if you can run the ball, it just changes everything.
And can you stop the run?
Yeah.
Can you stop the run?
Yeah.
Where's my Kyrus Tonga? And can you run the ball with LJ Martin and Miles Davis behind a revamped and reinvigorated offensive line with the new offensive line coach and TJ Woods?
Kyrus Tonga signed with the Cardinals, did he not?
Yes, he did.
We will be in Phoenix next weekend.
Let's go, Kyrus.
Maybe Kyrus will come hang out with us. Saturday, May 18th, noon Eastern time. Fan Fest in Phoenix. Someone turn on the AC for us.
Up next.
I think we're outside, though.
On the way, he's back at BYU. Oh,
yeah.
He looks so good in blue. Men's basketball assistant coach Chris Burgess.
Wait, he left? Where'd he go?
In studio to tell us what his life has been like over the last week and why he returned to BYU. This is BYUSN.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
Chris Burgess is back.
This is where the future is for Chris Burgess, and BYU needs him.
I could not be more excited about Chris. And BYU basketball continues to make moves that really impress.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play alongside Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton. We've moved over to the Cougar Council Room to appropriately welcome back.
Let us counsel one with another.
Chris Burgess, BYU basketball assistant coach.
What's up, guys? This is a great council room.
It's a little different than
much different.
We renovated the studio, basically for you.
But it's great to be back.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Let's go ahead and just get into what your life has been like in the last week. How would you sum up the last week of your life?
It moved really quick. A lot of secrecy in terms of just trying to think about a decision and understand both sides. But it's been a whirlwind. Head's been spinning. A lot of anxiety. Change is always hard. No matter what the change is, it's always difficult. But at the same time, it's been very overwhelming with just the reception and like the open arms that Cougar Nation has kind of shown towards me, or my family. And so that's very humbling and just gets you even more excited to be back at such a special place.
People don't think about the logistics for you, but you haven't had to move from Utah Valley, BYU, and Utah, right? Like you just,
yeah.
Here.
I've changed homes, but like I've been in Utah County the whole time. When you have a big family and they're involved with school and friends and different athletic teams, you especially in youth sports, if you find a coach that's really, really good, whether volleyball, basketball, baseball, like you don't want to change coaches, right? Because it's so important for, you know, as a father, right, their development. So I've been really fortunate. I've been coaching 9 years now and have not had to leave the county.
That's amazing. And let's talk about your kids because you have an amazing family.
Yeah.
So KJ plays volleyball at Oklahoma. And then Zoe signed at Kansas.
Yep, and she's there now.
She's there now. I saw a little mic'd up segment.
Yep.
That was on Twitter last week. And then you have a couple of sons who play, and Jackson Emery and we learned TJ Hawes are their coaches.
Yeah, so KJ's Oklahoma. Zoe's Kansas. She's a class of 2024 high school, 4-year state champ. Woo. Was Miss Volleyball at Lone Peak.
Big time at Lone Peak.
But she graduated early so she could get going here in the spring. And
BYU at Kansas is here, by
yep,
the way.
Yep, BYU. And they're not coming here.
They
at
did
all
last year. They so, did last year, yeah.
And then I have Ava, who is a freshman at Lone Peak. She's my 15-year-old, and she would argue that she's going to be the better of the three. But she's just a freshman. She started on varsity last year as state champ. And I got two little boys, Jackson Emery coaches, my 12-year-old, and then TJ Hawes coaches my 11-year-old. So
that's awesome.
Both are unbelievable coaches, just great, and great human beings.
How does your family feel about the back and forth? Like, are they ready to rep the Y and rep blue again?
Like, so I have video, and it would have been a great B-roll for them. When we told them, my wife and I told them we were leaving, and my boys didn't talk to me for like a week. And, you take them up to you put them at the bookstore and try to like just rip, you know, get into one when I told them. And so my daughter, who's a 15-year-old, found out on Instagram. So she sent it to my wife. We hadn't told him yet. So she got an
Instagram. She found out.
Yeah, so she sent it, be like, what? Exclamation. And then I was like, so we like kind of pulled over because Beckham was with us. And we're like, Beckham's going to find out because we're going to play a basketball game with Jackson.
Yes. Beckham's one of your sons.
Beckham's my 12-year-old. So we told him.
So you have a soccer name for a basketball
game. Yeah, Beckham, right? And so we told them, and obviously they're, you know, they're such good people up there and they made really good friends, but they're so excited to, they're like, we have to go to the bookstore. We have to go on a couple different websites. They wanted to rock their blue, especially when you live in Utah County,
yeah.
Right? Like they're excited to kind of, they're excited to be back. Like yeah. they're all in.
Wow. Chris Burgess is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Okay. You said it was so fast, understandably emotional and a whirlwind. When did the job officially fall onto your plate as an offer?
An offer. Yeah. Wednesday.
That's just crazy Wednesday. To me.
Well, no, it's not true. Tuesday. And then I accepted on Wednesday. I'm a sleep on it guy.
Yeah. Well, you need to, right? What went into this decision? Yeah. Because certainly your name was brought up for the head coaching job here. Yeah. And
to your credit, I mean, yeah.
And you made what, you know, a quote-unquote lateral move, yet you wanted to come back to BYU and leave the alma mater in a place that you really like as well, yet you've been here. Yeah. So what went into this decision?
My 3 years here with Coach Pope and staff and that team were some of my fondest memories and just an amazing time. And what BYU and the mission stands for is something that resonates in my life, right? And it's something I love being a part of. And I absolutely could not have enjoyed my time up in Salt Lake the last 2 years more in terms of growing as a coach. The opportunity, I went to a coach's clinic and I was involved with it going on player development for bigs, and Kevin Young was talking about offense and stuff when he was with the 76ers at the time. Mm. And I was blown away by his presentation.
So when was this?
This would have been 2019.
Yeah.
It was here at the Annex. So it was all this like Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints coaches clinic. Mm. So like Danny was there and, you know, Coach Hunsager from Utah Valley was, anyway, so I was blown away by it. And I kind of had stayed in touch with them, just texts, just, you know. And so when he had got the job and then kind of reached out, I've always thought about like, where am I going to continue to grow as a coach? And like, we always talk about our players, you need to get better. Well, I have the same mentality as a coach. Like, I just want to continue to grow and learn. So the opportunity to learn from Kevin and his background, like he's in every NBA draft room or every NBA draft workout, like what better way to learn, like in terms of player development, right? Offensively, he's one of the top, you know, assistant coaches in all of NBA. What better person to learn from? So it was really exciting to learn from him and grow from him. That got me super excited. And then some of the players, right, in the locker room that I've had some impact on their life, whether I recruited them, whether I got to coach them, and that got me fired up, right, to come back and kind of be around them and coach them and have more impact on their lives. So it's a number of things, right? It's difficult, and like you kind of get choked up about it because change is always really, really hard. But when you're welcomed with the open arms that like I've received, like I'm just telling you, like I kind of get goosebumps just thinking about being here again.
Chris Burgess, once again, BYU men's basketball assistant coach, is with us on BYU Sports Nation. What was that initial call like with Kevin Young when he started to recruit you back as an assistant?
Yeah, so it was kind of just talking like basketball talk, discussions. Not necessarily like an interview. It was more just like guys talking basketball, like chalk talk or philosophy. So it's like I'm learning from him, and then like I'm the college guy, right? And I kind of felt like it was kind of this two-way interview type discussion. And we just hit it off. We really connected. I loved his vision. I love the NBA, right? And I love the way he kind of was talking about the structure of his staff. And even though it's not NBA guys, it was an NBA structure.
Yeah.
And I love that, right? Like chief of staff and, you know, analytical.
Like
and,
a GM.
You know, it was awesome, right? Yeah. So I love that part of it. But we really connected, really vibed. We did get to sit down with each other once, but it was mostly over the phone. And I just knew there was a connection right away. And I think he understood that, like, I know this place as well and understand, like, coming to college basketball is one thing, but coming to BYU is very unique, right? And you have to understand that. And I think he does, and then I know he believed that I knew it because I've been in it, right? And so we connected on a high level.
You represent an important piece of the staff. One, like you said, that you connected to literally, what, Trevin, Foosh, Trey, and some other, right? That group, they know you.
Yeah.
You know them. You can connect the new coaching staff with those guys in terms of that. And yes, you've been gone for 2 years, but you played against BYU and you're here locally.
Yeah.
But also your connection in recruiting locally. You are known as one of the best, not the best recruiter locally. What does that mean to BYU in this piece of LDS kids and local kids and your connection with them?
Yeah. I think it's super important. I think you gotta dominate the state. You gotta own the state. You almost gotta build a.
And the ball's really good here in Utah.
Yeah, it's getting better.
Yeah,
and it's getting better and better every year. But you gotta own the state. You gotta dominate the state. You gotta dominate the members of our church. You gotta get them here. You gotta get them excited, and you got to, because this place has so much to offer, right? And so that is huge, because that's the core of what BYU is. That's the core of what BYU mission is, and those kids who serve missions truly understand sacrifice for the greater good of a team. Like, you can say that, but they truly understand sacrifice, right? And with the transfer portal and with NIL, there's so much of the back of the jersey as opposed to the front of the jersey. Meaning, like when I went to Duke, like, no one was bigger than Duke. Zion Williamson, Jason Tatum, Elton, you weren't bigger than Duke. And so you bought into the front of your jersey. Well, how many kids are in the transfer portal from Duke? 5 or 6? So it's no longer, but I truly believe at BYU, you get the core kids, they understand this. And they want to be a part of that, and they represent that. You got Down and Richie both came back, right? You got Trevin's not going anywhere. Dawson's not going anywhere. Like, they want to be a part of this, and they're in this changing landscape. You have BYU that I think can be different if you do it the right way and build around that core. And then go find your Jackson Robinsons, your Alex Barcelos, your Keena Youngs. Find those guys, right? And you can do that at a high level here. I believe that.
Good name drop on Keena Young, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, certainly BYU is on the hunt still in the portal.
Of course.
Specifically for some guys that you may know a thing or two about working with. The bigs.
Yeah.
Okay? Because it's Foose. And Foose loves BYU. Foose. We think he's an unbelievable talent and a unique matchup problem. But he needs some help. Yeah. So where do we stand in trying to bolster the depth in the front court?
We're in a good spot. Talking to a bunch of kids, trying to get them on campus. But we need another, obviously, bolster. We need, rim running five. We can rim protect, rebound, throw it to down there on the block, pocket pass off the screen and roll, and be able to make the reads, right? Whether the, five out delay, kind of like Ollie did last year, right? Make the reads off of handoffs, down screens, make the reads off of screen and roll, pocket pass. And so we're in the hunt with a couple guys, but that is something that's circled and something we're working on every single day to get them here.
It's going to be exciting next year. Obviously, the four corners come in, including Utah. What's the dynamic going to be like in the league of now Arizona's in here? Colorado's got a very good program. Like, and obviously you're staring at the Kansas, and Baylor continues to get better, and Houston.
Yeah, so like, especially being in the Pac-12 the last 2 years and, kind of watching the Big 12 or the Big East and things like that from afar, I think the one thing that Big 12 stands out, of course there's like really good basketball. It's awesome. But I think the one thing that stands out is their fan bases are electric. Like, everywhere you go, it's sold out. They care. They, camp overnight, right? And that is the difference in the fan base. So you add Arizona and Colorado, they probably were the two top fan bases. Every day sold out and in the conference the last, 4 or 5 years. And so I think you're adding those two teams that understand and are passionate about basketball, their fans are, right? And then you bring in the rivalry, which is great, right? And I think it's going to help bolster I think it's just going to help the conference, right? You're going to have these rivals. And then I think the world of Bobby Hurley is like kind of a personal hero of mine when I was a little kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think his teams play extremely hard. They get after it. And so you bring ASU, and I just think it's going to make them better and their fan base come back alive, right? I just think it's going to really help. I'm excited, right? I'm super excited to be a part of this conference. Obviously, we didn't have 2 years when we were at Utah. We found out almost a year ago. So we're kind of keeping an eye on, we played Houston, we played BYU, so we had a sense of two different programs in the Big 12, and we were kind of keeping an eye on it. So even though this will be our first year, I feel like I've been watching it the last 3 years because we were preparing for it 3 years ago when we found out, and then I left and then preparing for last year. So I'm excited, but I will just say that the fan bases are so passionate, and it's the essence of college basketball.
BYU men's basketball assistant coach Chris Burgess is with us in Studio B. When you think about what BYU is going to look like and what style of play there will be, what comes to mind? What's the vision that you want to paint for fans with Kevin Young and yourself and Brandon Dunson on stage?
Yeah, so we want to play fast. We want to play in transition for sure. You're in the altitude. You want to take advantage of that. I thought that's something that's super important. We'll play some five-out stuff, screen and roll. We want to space it with shooting. I think that is something that we want to have. Got to have shooters around you. Probably more, some more screen and roll stuff, and then from screen and roll, you can play out of it, right? Whether it's a pocket pass to kick out three, a throwback to punch it inside for a post up. So, but we want to play fast. We want to play five out. We want to space the court. And I know that sounds super generic, But that's what we wanted to do.
Sounds all like kind of what BYU was doing last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Which fans loved, and it was fun.
Yeah. And so that's even sitting with Coach Young and kind of watching some – as we're preparing for recruiting and just watching some style, how do they fit in style of play, you guys can be super excited.
And the ambition level is high, not only in BYU going and getting a guy like Kevin Young, but also, hey, let's hire a chief of staff. Let's bring Chris you over from Utah and so on. They've been you've been offering 25 kids that some are five-star, real high four-stars. And obviously you're working in the portal. Can you speak to the ambition level and the like urgency with, hey, we got to get this year's team, but we got to build this thing and let's get going?
Yeah, I think we're trying to build off the momentum that BYU basketball has right now, and the athletics and the fan base and the resources. And so getting out ahead early on some of these kids outside of the state, outside of the members, the right ones, and just getting out there, getting our name out, getting our brand, getting them excited, that's big. It gets the fans excited, it gets us excited. Plus, these are players that myself and Brandon, really feel like they're going to be absolute home runs for us, right? And so we're just trying to build off the momentum and the excitement that, you know, Coach Rose had, Coach Pope had, and we're just trying to continue to build off that.
Did you know Brandon Dunson a little bit, given that he was at Stanford?
Yeah, everyone speaks super highly of him. Ran into him. Obviously, we play him twice every year. And you know, now really getting to know him, and he is. There's a reason why his trajectory as an up and coming coach and continuing to move up the ranks is because he's really good at what he does.
Did you get the office you wanted, Chris?
We're about to find out.
For it last time, which is really fun.
I shot for it. So this is what I came in last week. So 5 years ago, I shot against Cody Feger because Nick wasn't around, Bobby wasn't around. I won. So, like, Cody may be in bluegrass, but he still is 0-1 in the shooting contest with me. So last week, no one was in the office because everyone, right? And I was like, well, what if I just shoot by myself? I just got to make 3 out of like 10. Is that good, right? And so I haven't got my office yet, but I'm not too worried about that. I'm just glad to be in those offices.
Just like put your backpack in there. Like,
oh, it's in there. It's in there.
Great to have you back in studio, B. Chris. This is the Burgess Lounge today, Jerem.
Yes,
I love it.
Yes, it is.
I love
Thanks
it. There's
again,
no
man.
Thing for me to sign. I remember so good to be back.
We need to bring that back.
Digital signatures. That's what we need.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris.
Hey, baseball takes on Utah Valley in what they call the Kevin Young Chris Burgess Bowl at 8 Eastern. No one called it. At 8 Eastern on Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
Up next. Can't believe I'm asking this, but is collective bargaining inevitable in college sports? We're headed that direction. And did BYU softball, with a sweep at Kansas, just play themselves back into the NCAA tournament field? Stay with us. This is BYU SN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's get to your Monday headlines.
Jackson Robinson, one of 78 players invited to the NBA Combine in Chicago May 12th through the 19th. Robinson was the Big 12 sixth man of the year, averaged 14 a game, shot 35% from three. He has until May 29th to withdraw to return to college if he wants. In other basketball news, Rocco Miller reports BYU will host Idaho, the Vandals, on Saturday, November 16th, likely game 4, maybe 5. That makes 7 reported or announced games as part of BYU's 24-25 non-conference schedule. They will play 11 in all.
BYU softball and their tournament hopes back from the dead. 3 huge wins on the road this weekend, sweeping Kansas and Lawrence. Cougars beat down KU 12-2 in 5 innings on Friday, thanks to a 7-run second inning. 6 different Cougars drove in at least 1 run. Hunter Ava had a 3-run homer. On Saturday, BYU shut out the Jayhawks 3-0. Chloe Temples and Kate Daly combining to allow just 2 hits. With that victory, BYU now 30-22 on the season, 11-16 in Big 12 play. And the Big 12 softball tournament bracket is now officially set. The Cougars, with that sweep of Kansas, are the 6th seed. They earn a first-round bye and will take on 3 seed and a top-5 team in the country, Oklahoma State, on Thursday in Oklahoma City.
They did get 1 of 3 against the Cowgirls, so let's go. Baseball split the final 2 games of the series at Miami, losing 6-4 Friday, then winning 8-2 Saturday. They did not stay for the F1 Miami Grand Prix on Sunday. Riker Scow, Kuhio Aloy, Easton Jones, and Colin Reuter all went yard. Tomorrow, the Cougars host Utah Valley.
BYU women's basketball picks up a big transfer. They announced the signing of Cal Bear, now BYU Cougar, Kemri Martin. She averaged 8.5 points a game at Berkeley the last 2 seasons. Martin played two seasons at Utah before transferring to Cal, now in Provo. She's a graduate of Corner Canyon High School, the 2019 Utah Gatorade Player of the Year, immediate impact player for Amber Whiting's squad.
Women's tennis fell to Auburn in the first round of the NCAA tournament in the Charles Barkley Bowl Friday, 4-0 to end the season. But it was a great season. BYU's first NCAA tournament appearance since 2007.
On the AAA baseball beat, Daniel Schneeman went 8-for-23 this past week with 3 home runs, 2 doubles, and 8 runs driven in. Schneeman now hitting .276 on the season with 7 home runs and 25 RBIs. Jackson Clough hit a 3-run home run last week for the Rochester Red Wings. Love to see one of those guys get the call up to the bigs at some point.
BYU men's lacrosse currently playing Michigan State in the MCLA National Tournament first round as of just a little while ago. It was 7-4. BYU the number one overall seed. If they win, they'll play the winner of San Diego State and Tennessee.
And former Cougar All-American rugby player Matt Jensen scored a try for the Utah Warriors in a 29-24 loss to the Houston SaberCats.
Great hands right here by Matt. Spinning around and dotting it down, baby.
Nice. Those are today's headlines. Now we whip it. The Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Schwarbrick told Yahoo Sports that college sports needs something new, and it says it's probably time to collectively bargain with athletes. Is this an inevitable future?
It feels like it. College athletics are becoming more and more of a minor league professional sport.
What? Minor? Major, given the money, right?
Major money, yes, but you know what I mean, like a step before the actual pros.
It already was.
Holy
like,
cow.
It depends on the sport, and sometimes it's bigger. Like women's volleyball in college is bigger than any pro level in the United States.
Collective,
you know what I
mean? Bargaining, like is there going to be like a players union for college players? And
yeah.
Then
eventually
the athletic directors are on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy.
Is it? They either have to make them employees or they have to CBA. They have to do, because there's too much money and there needs to be collectively bargained agreements. Like you can't, in the article they talk about, you can't have like some players being like, we'll bargain for 10 games and others for 12. It's like,
who's gonna govern this stuff?
Well, there needs to be a separation of some kind to where someone is overseeing this whole thing. Right now, the NCAA refuses to really oversee it, except when they cash the checks.
Who's gonna govern it? That's my biggest question. That's why it feels crazy to me. It's like, who's the governing body right now?
Well, it's the NCAA, but you need a governor, a person who is reckoning all of this. Yeah, there's too much money not to. Like, it's going this way. To me, it's not minor in any way. We're talking about billions of dollars here in football and
basketball. I'm aware.
So, like,
the numbers
there's
are
nothing
massive.
Minor about it. It is major. It is big time, money in athletics. So, yeah, at some point, it's just so temporary with these athletes. They're not there for 10 years. They're there for 3 to 1 to 5, depending on the sport. So, in some way, will they come together to have a CBA? We'll
how?
See, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, how? And who? Who's going to be the governing body? Who's the governor of the governing body? It feels inevitable, but man, I'm intrigued to see how it actually gets there.
Yep.
As mentioned in headlines, Amber Whiting adds a third transfer this offseason, Kemri Martin from Cal. So, Jeremy, what do you think of what Amber Whiting has done for her roster through the portal this offseason?
Let's recap the three. So you got Mariah Hudgens, 6-foot guard from Santa Clara. She was on the show last week. Kemri Martin, we mentioned, former Utah Player of the Year, guard from Cal. And then Hattie Ogden, 6'2 guard or forward from Buffalo. Aaron and Jaden Wagner's niece, by the way, out of Canada. So, yeah, adding nice pieces from the portal, experience, height, length. I think it's good. And BYU continues to recruit at a high level. Delaney Gibb is a big-time player out of Canada who will be a freshman. So,
yep.
I'm excited about this group. By the way, Nani Faletea transferred to Oregon. We hadn't mentioned that previously.
Interesting. And that, listen, that really was a massive loss for BYU.
Yeah, it changed the entire dynamic. And you
had
to start two freshmen in the backcourt. Granted, very good players. They're just very young.
And now one of those freshmen, one of the best three-point shooters in the country, going on a mission. So,
sister Kaylee Wollstone, welcome to Baltimore.
There's room.
Don't
for
watch
these players,
the wire before you go there.
There's room for all of these players to make an immediate impact. That is for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they become rotational pieces/starters immediately. Did the sweep of Kansas play BYU softball back in the NCAA tournament field?
Put them squarely on the bubble again.
Okay.
BYU's RPI was down around 60 before the three games began against Kansas.
Yeah.
Last I saw, as of last night, number 49. They jumped 11 spots. You want to be sub 50 to be in that conversation. But they score a ton of runs. They're an entertaining team, and they have a win at Oklahoma and a win over Oklahoma State on top of late sweeps against Kansas and Iowa State. The committee, they always like a team that's playing well. BYU is playing well, and they have quality wins, and they're in one of the toughest conferences in America with some massive road wins.
Beat Oklahoma State? That'd BYU's really be a nice
BYU is an attractive win. Option for the tournament because they're a fun team. Like, they're an exciting team that scores a ton of runs.
They have a Google sheet, and then there's this column that says, fun team, and BYU, they're like, check, let's go.
Entertainment value. Up next, based on something Isaiah Kafusi, one of BYU's linebackers, the great, said over the weekend, where does the 2020 BYU football team rank among the all-time great BYU football teams?
We should do a whole show on this.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
What a catch made shy of the 40.
Throw down the right side for Mill, and he makes another great catch there.
He caught it! He caught it in the back of the end zone for a touchdown!
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B, a very busy Monday, much to discuss, and we're going to add another element here. Based on something former BYU linebacker great Isaiah Kafusi posted on X over the weekend.
Is this first take material or what?
Oh, my goodness. Not surprisingly, this garnered a lot of reaction, Isaiah. Lot of responses. Isaiah said, quote, I will die on this hill.
Taysom Hill.
The 2020 football team was the best football team at BYU. I'd take us against any year.
Wow.
Jerem, where does the 2020 BYU football team rank all time? Isaiah Kafusi says number one.
Listen, Isaiah needs to say that. He needs to back his guys. He needs to back his team. They were 11-1. It was the COVID year. BYU put together the best schedule they could.
They embarrassed Dylan Gabriel and UCF in
yes,
the Boca Raton Bowl.
Hank Bachmeyer and Hurd and Cade Finnegan comes in. Zach Wilson drafted second. Five players drafted, three in the seventh round. Like, it was a great year. I don't want to feel like in any way, shape, or form this disparaging what BYU did. But when you start to bring in the greatest team of all the G-Tote, they're the greatest team of all time, then we gotta talk, okay? To me, the greatest team of all time is 84. They won the Natty. You believe it's 83. We had a whole show about this, which is really fun. I put 2020 at number eight. The reason is, they didn't play anybody, and they couldn't, but then when they did, they lost. And it was by a yard, and it hurt so bad. Okay? It's one of 12 seasons in BYU history with 11-plus wins. Great first play against Houston by Dax Mill. One of seven seasons with one or loss or fewer. It's the only season in modern BYU history with no Power Fives. That was not BYU's fault, right? They just had to schedule who they had. Fifth in simple rating system on College Football Reference. That combines point differential and strength of schedule. 84 is sixth, by the way. They didn't play. We played Pitt and Michigan. Pitt and Michigan won 3 and 6 games, respectively, that year. This team was, in 2020, ranked as high as 13 in the College Football Playoff poll. We were actually pretty annoyed about it at the time. The offense was crazy efficient.
That's Zach why they Wilson, took the incredible challenge of going to Coastal Carolina in 3 days.
To try and see if they could sneak into the at-large NY6 conversation. Didn't really hurt them in the end in terms of how they were perceived. They were actually respected. But BYU didn't beat a team that won 8 games that year. Their margin of victory was 37. It was incredible. I love the 2020 team. I just think in the conversation, I can't project very well where they would have fit in had they played a normal schedule. They were going to play 5 Power Fives, by the way. I think it was 4 in a row. At Minnesota was one of the games you're going to play, Utah, and so on and so forth. So I've got 84, 83, 96. Those are the big three. I don't think anybody really argues against those three. If you do, I don't think you know BYU football very much. 1980 is number 4. That team was amazing. 79 I put high. First BYU team to do anything, right?
They won at Texas A&M to open the season.
They ranked win on the road. They miss a field goal that would have been undefeated. 06, 09, and then I put 20 right there. Where do you put him?
It's hilarious because we did not have any type of conversation about this.
I don't want to know your opinion on stuff until we talk.
We did not discuss it at all. I have 2020 at number 8.
Nice, bro! Nice!
Well, I was laughing when I saw your list.
Oh, you love 90. Look at you.
I do love Ty Detmer's Heisman Trophy year and that BYU beat Miami.
Terrible at the end of the season.
I know. But he had two separated shoulders in the Holiday Bowl. Like, I'm kind
of
giving
BYU one for each loss at the end of the year.
I'm giving BYU a little bit of a pass against Texas A&M. But they won some quality games that year in 1990. I like them at number 7.
I feel you, too. They were top 5 for, like, a long time.
Yes, that team was so good.
But you fell out.
They got
banged up. You can't lose 3 times.
They had some key injuries late in the year like that. But that team was special for the majority of the season. And they had some quality, like, the best win of all time on that.
That must carry it then.
From that roster, right?
I didn't include anybody that had 3 losses.
So you and I are pretty similar, 1 through 4.
Yeah.
83, I still believe, is the best BYU football team.
Go watch our show called the 1983 Reviewables. Spencer makes the argument for 83. Steve Young's on the show. It was awesome.
BYU won 2 road games against teams that won 10 games. Okay.
It was a great team.
And finished in the top 20.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to make my argument here. I did on the show. Go watch.
For sure. 84, number 2. 96, number 3. 1980 in the Miracle Bowl. Jim McMahon, number 4.
Great team.
The 1981 team also finished 12-1. They beat Washington State in the Holiday Bowl. Jim McMahon broke a ton of records in 1981, and there was some carryover from that 80 team on the roster into 81, obviously. So I got
81 was 11-2.
Oh, 11-2. Okay.
11-1, I would have had him higher too.
Okay, yeah. 79, gosh dang it, Lee Corso. I'm so mad they lost to Indiana in that game. If 79 just kicks.
If they finish the deal there, they're like top 5.
Yes. Just make a simple kick.
I had them at 5, yeah.
They're at number 6, 1990 and Ty Detmer at number 7, then 2020 at number 8, followed by John Beck's 06 squad.
Oh, I love the 06 squad.
Okay, the Pac-12, the de facto Pac-12 South champions. 2021.
Yeah, 21 high.
Mm. I got them at number 10.
That was a good team. Yeah.
That produced, Puka Nakua,
yeah.
Jaren Hall,
yes.
Kingsley Suamata.
And I would love to dig into this even more. I basically, gave it pre-show this morning. If we did a whole show on this, we could really break down, the top 10 teams.
Yes.
Hey, maybe that's a summer show we do, top 10 teams 1 year.
Yeah, and we're kind of rushing to, throw this together. But I'm thinking about the teams I left off this list, and I'm just man, where do we put a team like 2007 team, right? And 2008 with Austin Colley and Dennis Pitta and those teams and Max Hall? Like, where does 01 go?
01
with
is
Luke
out,
Staley,
is,
right?
01 is out, baby. Can't lose that much at the end of the season
Wild, wild stuff. Okay, but both of us, hilarious. Number 8.
Number 8. Not number 1.
A top 10 team. Where would you put the 2020 squad?
Gonna have Isaiah on. We'll talk about it.
Up next, we finish off what's been a very entertaining and informative BYU Sports Nation. Who gets the elite voice of the day? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Alongside Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. A little bit of breaking news from BYU football. As Cougar Nation, according to this post on X and on IG, welcomes Austin Leausa to the family. So BYU gets an offensive lineman, 6'5", 310 pounds, out of West Jordan High School.
Yeah, the Jaguars. Arrival of Copper Hills there.
Southern Utah transfer. Yeah.
Yep, Southern Utah. So they said they were going to go look at O-linemen. They brought in one. There you go.
TJ Woods got another guy to work with.
6'5", 310. Let's go.
Big boy.
He's coming to Bam Bam's.
Which team has bigger needs to address through the transfer portal? Is it BYU football, who just added another offensive lineman, or is it BYU men's basketball? Our response, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from Nelvin Wilson on X, who says,
Wilson!
Men's basketball bringing back a core of players that made the big dance. Football bringing back a core of players that missed out on a bowl game. Football wins.
In terms of needs?
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that. But for BYU to make the NCAA tournament, they still need a few more pieces.
I just want to keep that momentum for basketball. Like, they've built so much momentum. It was so good last year. I don't want there to be, a significant drop-off. So I guess I feel urgency there where it's you're so close to being really good again. go get a couple of bigs, like BYU's right back
standards
in the
mix. Standards higher for men's basketball than football right now. Football, it's make a bowl game. Men's basketball, it's make the tourney.
Today's Rise and Shout, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Softball sweeping Kansas. Good luck in the Big 12 tournament. Take down Oklahoma State. Get in the NCAA region.
They might get in even if they lose Oklahoma State. If they win, they're for sure in.
Come on, baby.
Our thanks to today's guest, BYU men's basketball assistant coach Chris Burgess.
Sorry to Dennis Pettit, we ran out of time.
For Jeremiah Spencer, shout out to Clay Brown. We'll see you tomorrow. 2020, really the 8th best team ever? Go Cougs.